Where we left off last time and kind of reviewed what you saw at the last meeting, and they made some further, they dug down in the dale a little bit farther, so. Hopefully you look at the thing we sent to you in the meantime, and maybe understand a little more than you did in the whole last time.
Yeah, like today, Joe, they didn't even get them worked up.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good or bad thing this time. It's not worse than the last time.
I know.
So this is going to look fairly similar in spots to what we went over at the last meeting. I'm not going to sit here and go slow over every single slide again. I'm going to get to the key stuff here that we've got. And so I know Dan's following along on the phone. So Dan, if you'll go to page 11, that'll be where we'll start today. So we'll start with hand scrape. So the thing here is we had identified last meeting, we had 786 individuals who had been identified using the hand scrape pre-control of July 1, 2014, and 212 individuals in the Oyster Fishery hadn't used it at all. So obviously, if we're going to set some type of effort control right away, the 212 individuals who haven't been part of this during that time period, it wouldn't be considered. So we're going to work with that 786. Now, the thing is, I haven't heard back through Jim any specific comments from the committee about, well, we like to maybe see a be at a third less or a half less or what. So hopefully today we're going to kind of get a little bit more of that from you. We worked up two possible scenarios, one based on just approximately a 50% cut in the number and one based on 25%. So you'll remember from the last time when we did this, there it is. When last time we did this, we had this group who had had less than 20 harvest days in hand scrape over 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years. Remember, we did that. We broke up this category here. Like, this is the 10 to 19, and, you know, so the orange was 1 year who had it, and, you know, here's the yellow with the 2 years, all the way out to the blue with the 4 years. And we showed you last time that group, less than 20, there was 405 individuals in that group. So to say the 20 and above, they get to stay in. What do you want to do with the 405? Well, if you're trying to cut this by as much as 50%, you're done. That 405 would be out. That's a clean cut right there. You got the information to base it on. You've already done the bend work. It's a clean cut. You're going for 393 individuals on a 50% cut, approximately. You're never going to get it down to the exact number, the way this works. Mm-hmm. So you get close, 405. So that's a clean cut right there. It's an easy thing to actually write up in the regulation. And that leaves you 381 individuals in the hand scrape fishery for public oyster.
That's hard to believe. 405 people didn't work 20 days on average.
On average over that time period.
Man, I had no idea that many people. Yeah.
Well, and y'all made the comments before. Mm-hmm. These guys that had jumped in and
I can see. They jump in and work 2 or 3 days a week
or whatever, yeah.
And that's it, and that's what's showing up here.
Yeah.
It's just what you're
a lot of these people got other jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it plays out to what you've been telling us all along.
Mm-hmm.
So, if this isn't palatable, say, well, 50%, that's just a little too much. Maybe somewhere in the middle, but let's look at 25%. For 25%, we got to go to that other set of data we looked at. Dan, I went over to 13. The next slide after. And this is the number of individuals harvesting species other than oysters. And they were also showing up in the hand scrape. So this is that group of 405 we broke out again. Same thing you saw last meeting. We had that group over here on the left, the 95, who didn't do anything but oysters, and then you had what was remaining. And if we looked at 25% instead of the 50%, what our target is 589 individuals. So with that.
Page 12, sorry.
Well, 13 on my screen, 12 on y'all's. Yeah, I don't know why that's different, actually. I'm a little curious. Mm-hmm. But yeah, because it's 12 on my printout. Yeah. So the computer lies to us today. So 25%, you know, we're looking at 589 total to remain in the hand-scraped fishery. And that's an approximate number. We're trying to get close to it. So we looked at this information here, and we tried to find somewhat of a break that would get us there. And that break basically came out at 40 or more days with at least some other harvest of other species. So you can see this includes both that 1 to 9 average hand-scraped day group and that 10 to 19 average hand-scraped day group. So if we go there, what it comes out is we gained 207 individuals of the 405. So basically almost half that group gets to stay in. We add it all together, we had 588 and the target was 589. That's pretty darn close. So that's a 25% cut in hand scrape. Okay, so we went from 786 down to 588 with that type of a cut. Mm-hmm. Good so far. All right. We still have the other information in there. We sent you about activity before the control date and other oyster stuff. We haven't done any cuts with these because if we went back based on the information and the comments we were getting, a lot of the comments were you're looking for the individuals who were really the workers in the fishery year-round, who really were doing other stuff and oysters. You're as close to a full-timer as you can define them, and trying to look out for that crew. So we stuck with that on these examples I'm going to go through today. After hand scrape, and we'll just go ahead and jump ahead to dredge, and make sure I'll do it from the paper copy so I'll give Dan the right page. So it should be page 22, Dan's paper. And it's not, it's going to be, Adam, we need to check these page numbers. 21 on the screen, so it's either 21 or 22 in what you have in front of you, on what at least Dan had.
Neither one.
Y'all's may be a little bit off. If you have last time, this has been updated a little bit.
I don't know what it is.
But you should be able to find this page, the 156 that showed up.
It's dredge.
This is on dredge, before the control date. I'll let everybody get caught up on this.
Here it is. Here.
Got it?
17.
17 on
that's close.
Okay.
Yeah,
y'all didn't get new copies of this, obviously. All right. So, same thing. Originally with the dredge, there was 271 who had activity in the dredge fishery, and we had 727 oyster fishery that didn't have any activity with the dredge. If you want to do a 50% cut, you're trying to get down to 136. If you're doing a 25% cut, you're trying to get down around 203 remaining individuals. Mm-hmm. So, when we go through that, right away, remove 50%, you're saying you're trying to get to 136. Well, we got that same group like we did in hand scrape. Worked less than 20 days. Use them as our example. That leaves you 115 remaining. So, okay, we're a little off there, about maybe off by 20 what our target is. You already know that looking at that, if you really want to get that 20 in there, we're going to have to get really specific on the next criteria we'll look at, but trying to just find 20 spots is tough with even this data. Just say, well, I just want to add 20 more people in. You're going to have to nitpick this data to the point just saying we're letting some 20 in, and it may not be the type of criteria you really want to use. But for the 25, we're trying to get to 203, so it's going to be like hand scrape. We're going to look at this same information, activity other than the public oyster, looking at other species. Where's the break come out to get to the 25, the 203? And it's about the same place, 40 and above, as it was with hand scrape. So there's consistency there, which makes life very easy when you're trying to write this in a regulation form. You get 91 of that 156 get to remain in there. So you get the 203. You're shooting for 203, you're getting pretty darn close at 206. So these are examples. This is type of, you know, how we're going to break this down. If you're trying to get to a third, we got to work this out to say, all right, 33%. You know, we got to get a feel from y'all as where y'all are thinking this ought to be too. So
one question that I have, and I don't know that I've seen anything that showed this, but what do you project the optimum availability of clean coal oysters to be next season?
Well, I mean, looking at last year, most areas were pretty much done in half the season. And this year, I mean, we're going to go on a slow plane down. And this year, there will probably be, in the Rappahannock, there will be more of what there was this year. James will be about the same. Great Comico will be about the same. Again, I mean, and Tangier Pokemo will be less than half of what it was last year. So, overall, maybe we will be 60% up last year. And then the year after that, it'll be less again.
So, all right. You say the James and the Wicomico are the same. Tangier and Rappahannock are half.
Tangier will be worse than half.
Okay. What are the volumes? How do the volumes between those four places compare? Is there more oysters caught in Rappahannock than it is in the James, or?
Last year, the James and the Rappahannock were pretty similar.
Okay.
This year they won't be similar.
So that last year, if the James and the Rappahannock were pretty similar, and they were half there, and the James would be the same this year, that would be 75%.
Last year was half of the Rappahannock.
Well, Jim, this was based on last year's survey, is that correct? These statistics here? You haven't done, nothing this year is included in these statistics, right? Such as Temple Bay, have you done any survey?
Our survey is pretty much telling us about this year.
Okay.
Not telling us about last year.
Okay.
And we're rotating, we're going in areas that weren't harvested.
Okay.
In the James, we've maintained a little bit better spats out in the James than we have in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to hold up pretty much the same where it was.
Okay.
It'll go up.
So last year, the Rappahannock didn't have that good a spat set in 14?
No, we didn't have 14, we did it in 13.
Mm.
We did have 12, and the reason that Rappahannock will be half is that Temple Bay that's going to open, you know, it's basically working on the 2012 spat set. It's just that there are less acres of bottom in Temple Bay than there were in Broad Creek.
Mm-hmm.
So, bar for bar, Temple Bay will be okay, but it's just left home.
Mm-hmm. And area wise, is still a little bit more area three than five?
No. So, I mean, we're actually going to do this year two and five. We got out of sequence.
Oh, you did? Not doing three? Not doing?
Right. No, we got out of sequence a couple of years ago.
Okay, right.
Tackle sequence. Uh-huh. So it'll be two and five. And two has got less than, it's got more than six would have had.
Okay.
But it'll be less than
25. Okay, so I thought it was going to be prior and three. I thought it would be three.
Three and four.
Oh, okay.
Is the percentage of people in the group that worked less than 20 days, is that pretty much the same in the Rappahannock as it is in the James?
Well, we didn't look. We didn't do it by word.
That would be a totally different analysis to try and do this by different river areas. You'd almost be suggesting we'd have to go to a area-specific.
Is that based on 4 years or just 1 year?
This is actually based over those 4 years.
Oh yeah.
So it looks like to me, not including Tangier and Wicomico, it looks like to me 75% of what was available this year will be available next year. Is that a wrong analysis on my part?
Last year versus this fall. That's right.
Okay.
It should be somewhere around 60 York is, we're rotating out of New York into Mob Jack, mm-hmm. and Mob Jack will be a tenth of New York.
So if the reduction of 25% in personnel
might be okay with that, but I don't know if that's right either, because the people only work in 20 days, they don't catch.
They're not contributing a lot to the bushel count, are they? No. So that's not going to change a lot, right?
That's 20 days out of how many days available to work on oysters?
This is other. This is not oysters. This is,
I understand.
Mm-hmm. And then let me just point this out so we don't lose track. This is from the other last meeting. I've showed you cuts at 50% to that number, but then there was some indication from the committee that you wanted to at least consider post-control. A few of those guys who worked showed really hard effort to let them stay in. So that would add your number back up a little bit, depending on how we do that. Mm-hmm. So just don't forget that. We got a little bit on that as well.
If it was 25% that you took out, if you took out those people that worked less than 20 days, what percentage would that be? If 75% of the net harvest is going to be available, would cutting those people at 20 days, would that account for?
Yeah, I don't think you can equate cutting 25% of the individuals out equates to 25% less.
That's what concerns me.
Put us into a more less capitalized fishery, mm-hmm. knowing that we're going to have good years and bad years,
right.
And the people that have been in this for a long time, mm-hmm. need to be protected in the bad years.
That's an admirable position. Mm-hmm.
Jim, talk a little bit about exemptions. I know in past, even if we go with these numbers here, such as medical exemptions. I know I've talked to several people that didn't work because they were medically unfit to be able to do it, I was just wondering, his thoughts on exemptions.
Well, we'll be looking at the committee for adding that stuff back in once we've decided where the cuts are going.
Well, I think he had made a comment at the last meeting or meeting before last where, some people that they work on their own private beds all the time and they won't even go on the public unless they have to, but they do have the license if necessary. So that was, I think you had covered that situation that you recognize there are people such as that.
We have the potential in the data that we sent you.
Okay.
Which I'm showing you to add private people back in if you want it.
Okay.
We need your help in making that decision.
So you didn't capture those people in the data you just showed?
No, this is...
And another one in your grant. Yeah. Stuff you did capture.
I mean, you'll remember from the last time we covered things. This is on the dredge, but we also had for hand scrape for the post control. But we talked about individuals who came up in that subgroup, that less than 20 group, and were they in the aquaculture industry? And we had, this is by month, and there was a very small number who showed up in the aquaculture industry from the dredge. That were in that low group, that less than 20 days work.
So we can cover that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can make an exception for that.
Right.
Does everybody agree to that?
I mean, that's the type of information we're looking for. If you absolutely want to incorporate some type of recognition of the private oyster part, we can build that back in. Mm-hmm. And then it's just working with the other data. Where do you want to go with it?
I understand what Jim was saying. There's a reduction in some rivers. Maybe some rivers might have half or less, and some might be the same harvest. It's probably hard to predict, but, that's kind of the estimate. I wonder, at some point in time, it seems there's a number of individuals that have 20 days or less on the water harvesting in the good year. It would be 2014. when does this or does it become self-limiting that there's not product out there, so a certain number are not going to go catch oysters?
I think it'll always be self-limiting, but the fact is everybody's going to go in for the gravy in the first week. Sure, it'll be self-limited in that some people will quit earlier than others because they got another job. Mm-hmm. But if they go in and take the cream off, then the ones that need the job for the whole months are taken away from them. So it is self-limiting to a degree, but everybody's going to be out when everybody's out.
But we're entitled to manage a resource, not to manage people's jobs.
Almost impossible to manage a resource without managing people's jobs.
I'm talking about as far as how many oysters are there for a certain select number of people to catch.
Right.
That's not the charge of the state. The charge of the state is to keep a standing stock of oysters sufficient to maintain. That's it. Not to make sure that there's 50 people to catch oysters and each one of them can catch 20 bushels a day for the season. That's not the state's charge.
Oregon or Maine and Derby fishery.
It's a public fishery that's open to everyone with a commercial registration license. It's one of the few remaining public fisheries that's not limited entry.
If we want to see anything else?
If we were to go with this route, and you've got gentlemen in that number that are 60 to 80 years old, pretty significant number, are you guys thinking that when one of them passes on or is incapacitated, that that license disappears, or is that a sellable asset that they...
If you get this to a certain manageable number, then you know, you're going to have the discussion about allowing transfers.
I mean, it's a lot of that coming up pretty soon, a lot
very
of it.
Much aware.
And I mean, Dan can speak to that more from his area, but that's a concern that I have, and it's kind of, to be quite honest, speaking for myself, something I want to answer to going forward. I got a lot invested in this public fit, relying on this public fishery, and you know, I look at the attrition that we've had among our oystermen in the last 5 years, and it's coming fast. So some of the younger people are going to be in this number we're talking about, of either the 25% or the 50% that are going to get cut. Is that their option to ever come back in the fishery to buy someone out? Is that what you think?
The transfer process that would be set up at the same time you set up this. You're not going to do one without the backside of it, without a deep fishery.
I would think it could also be different. So, this is the most traditional fishery, and if the committee does or does not think there's a warrant. I think the commission needs to know that should the standing stock improve, should that cess be more regular, so the standing stock improves, there ought to be the ability to have entry into the fishery without the transfer process, which turns out to be a huge problem in itself, as we've seen with the grant fishery, striped bass fishery. So, that should offer. Again, it depends on what the committee suggests, it depends on the staff, that should take the commission, but that at least offers some realistic approach to a public fishery, which is probably the most public fishery, that you don't have to go the route of the transfers and the buy-in and everything else. Not to talk about crabs very much, but with crabs, by the time the commission put on a moratorium on additional licenses in 1999, too late. part of what the commission hears is that in better times, if you consider this a bad time, if you consider this a bad time compared to the last couple of years, then when times are better, there should be allowed to be some entry. But that takes the same amount of effort as taking out entry if that's what you want to do. Because you have to have some plan to let folks come back in, right? And just holding the gates wide open. It all depends on how much you take out and how much you come back in. So, I mean, I do plan that the commission knows about that. If there's any forward movement there,
I got a question. Is this a 3-year, which that is what, 4 years actually, I guess, or 3.5. Is this an average, or say one individual worked 21 days, or 23, or maybe 30 in 1 year, but the other 2 years he didn't, he's new, he's getting into it?
It didn't get divided by three. I mean, it's whatever. If he has 1 year of data, that's what we use. If he has 2 years of data, that's what's the average.
So it's not an average. You know, not divided by
three. Yeah, we didn't take everything divided by four across the board, which would have really shrunk some guys down to a really low number. We had to use just the years that they have information for.
Yeah, that's what's getting the time. We got some young guys getting into this. It just started within a year or so, so we just want to make sure
they get full credit. Then if they jumped in 1 year and they really worked hard, they're getting full credit for what they did.
And 25% is when you figure they've been working in other fisheries, crabbing or whatever, and 50%.
Yeah, that one, yeah, that was where we looked and said, okay, so here's that group that didn't do more than, didn't get up to 20 days of hand scrape on average. So what did they do? Well, here they are in other fisheries. How frequently are they working there? And it came up both on scrape and on dredge, you know, 40 days and more, there was a good clean cut there to get to the 25% number. You know, where the target is and trying to shape it to that target.
And you're not looking at using any of the post-control date numbers here, not eliminating any of those?
We can look at them, but we also, again, from the committee, are looking at advice. Do you want to consider letting the post guys in for certain or not? Because wherever that 25% number is I'm targeting here, well, if we come up and say, well, in post-control, there's a group up there, maybe 10 guys. We think that group ought to be in. Well, that's 10 guys here that I need to adjust for. Mm-hmm. So it's complicated. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces here. Mm-hmm. So it depends. It could be very clean. It's all pre-control. If you're after the control date, we're not worried about them. If you are worried about that group, how many do you save there versus how many we save from the pre-control?
Mm-hmm.
And balance, you got to balance it all out.
I'm sorry I wasn't at the last meeting, but are the pre-control guys in the numbers here or no?
This is all pre-control so far.
I meant post, so no post-control.
No post. No, okay. They're separated. There's a clean separation between the two. And the post-control guys, again, since you weren't here, are only those who showed up after July 2nd of last year. Mm-hmm. They don't have any oyster prior. Mm-hmm.
Do we have any numbers, Joe, on that?
Yeah, I can show those.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know one guy got in, and he worked every day, yeah. I mean, from
like
the time he started.
And again, it's the same stuff we showed last time. Yeah. It's just a little bit of expansion on that.
Okay.
Again, we'll get past. Yeah, this is getting into post. So remember on the hand scrape, we had showed you the average of, obviously, it's not multiple years here. We're talking about one half season. Basically.
Right, one season, yeah.
So, you know, 108 individuals were in the hand scrape who hadn't been there from 11 through July 2nd, 2014. So there was 108, and we went through this with you, showing you the different things that they did. There was only a handful of them that actually did other gear. There was only a handful.
Go back to that one again.
100
people that did nothing?
Nothing.
Yeah. This, I mean, they jumped in, mm-hmm. and it was hand scrape, and they didn't do anything else.
You think that was in response to the control date buying just...
Because they actually work.
Okay.
Yeah, they were in the hand scrape fishery, but they weren't really involved in anything else.
Okay.
I remember last time y'all were noting that one individual, that 40 to 49 days, I mean, he was really trying to do something out there.
Yeah.
And we talked to you about private oysters. Most of them aren't in private oysters. A handful were in private oyster. Most of them, you know, this is harvesting species other than oysters. This is, you know, the overall... You know, some were fairly involved and some weren't. But we went back to that same graph again, where we told you, okay, let's use the same criteria we did before. So the guys had 20 more days post-control, maybe they can be considered, and that's 59 individuals right there. Mm-hmm. And then you had that other group of 49 individuals that, you know, they didn't do much, and we broke them down like we did the first time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you might just sit here and go, hey, that 59, that's the ones we think God still be given a chance to be in here. And, you know, if we want to go further, we did the same thing. So what about that other group? And it's not popping up on this one. So, but that's the same thing. We can do the same thing there. How many post-control do you want to let in? Based on what criteria? The guys who really showed effort had more than 20 days in hand scrape?
What other knowledge do you have on those 49 people?
What's that?
What other knowledge do you have on those 49 people?
Well, those 49, we do know that, you know, here, break it down. So this is activity other than private, public hand scrape or dredging oysters. This is 16, didn't do anything of that 49, zero. You've got really kind of an odd breakout here. You got a couple on the lower end, 40 and below, but then it kind of breaks up, and all of a sudden 70, 80, 90, greater than 100 days. There are another greater than 100 people. Now that should be days. Yeah, greater than days.
And that's excluding anything on private ground.
Yeah, other than private or public hand scrape or dredge oyster, yes. Same group. Individuals with private oyster harvest from 2011 to 2014. Most of them were not in the private oyster. Most of them weren't doing aquaculture. Just a handful were doing aquaculture. And this was looking at their history over the last 4 years, just say, you know, where these guys come from. Individuals in the dredge, same thing, we broke these down. You had 47 individuals who showed up in the dredge fishery after the control date. 102 did not. Let me get to where that is, comes up again. So we talked last time that 20 seemed to be a key number. Had at least 20 days out there. You had 20 of them in that group. And then you had this other group, 27, you know, they may have jumped on the boat off and on or very few times, maybe one time, got credit, went back to doing their day job. And we looked at them as well. And it's in, you know, like this hand scrape, same breakouts. You know, we looked at these other activity, you know, activity other than private, public hand scrape. You know, there's a group that worked a lot over those past couple of years, didn't do as much.
Do you see information on those people where they would work just the first part of the season when the oysters were most abundant? And then
we haven't dug to that point just to say, okay, they only showed up after October such and such, and then they were gone 3 days later. No, we haven't broken that out in that way. That's getting really far down the weeds for that.
So is 100 post-control date guys to work 20 days or more?
Say it again, Tommy.
That graph when we were talking about post guys, you had 100 guys that worked 20 days or more that were post control date.
No, on dredge, we only had 20. But up on hand scrape, you mean hand scrape?
Yeah.
On 2 days.
What's
it,
59. Had 20 or more.
Let me ask a question before I get more confused.
Oh, when you're following along really
good. A gentleman in my area where we do have hand tonguing from October until the end of December. Now he hand tongs until Christmas or so. And then to carry him on through, he may work 18 or 19 days in January and February, depending on weather, hand scraping. Now, how is that going to affect him? Because he needs that extra 19 days of work to carry him over.
Does he do other fisheries as well?
Probably crabs and fishes, too. Okay. But he's going to need that extra month of work there to provide.
That should show up, though, because hand tong was included with the other. Correct, Adam? With the other activity. So if he has his hand tong days, plus he has other activity, like, say, crab or something, he should show up with that extra activity. So that 40 day harvest days, that should be a pretty easy criteria to meet over a year. if he's doing what you're saying.
But even just with the hand tong days, he should be okay.
Yeah, just with the hand tong days, he's probably fine. But if he's doing the other activity, he should be really in good shape.
And that's my concern. It shows his total body of work is what I'm saying on the walk.
Yeah, and that's why we incorporate. And, yeah, we have hand tong in there because that is an important criteria to keep in mind. That, you know, don't want to ignore hand tong.
Okay. So probably less than 40 days on the water somewhere. Would unqualify you.
If this is the way he's surviving.
Yeah. You could almost, I don't know, just 40 days period, what I've seen up here, doing anything, whether it just be oyster dredging, hand scraping, crabbing, and hand scraping.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be like the... It's getting pretty complicated here.
The reason we do, we'll take out things that, like if we're talking about dredge, we'll take the dredge out because we're not trying to pollute what we're picking as a second criteria. You know, you want to say, all right, they did this much in dredge. What do they do elsewhere? And not have the two.
No, I was hand scraping and dredge. Yeah. I call it the same. But
I understand. Yeah. So do a lot of other people.
Should be.
And again, I don't want anybody to fall into that. Into that Potomac River area where they could be crabbing and fishing the whole year on the Potomac and just maybe 30-some days.
Last time, we did say, and you brought this up, you know, it's like we have concerns about those. That is a unique situation up there. Come up with criteria to that specific thing, and we can consider that. I mean, we said that at the last meeting.
Right, you did.
You know, because Potomac River, that is a unique scenario that we have going on the Potomac side.
And I am talking to Marty about, you know, if we can find some kind of information to provide to VMRC about that.
It seemed like the committee the last time was, you know, open to that idea, you know, trying to give consideration to that group because it is so unique up there.
Thank you.
Is there a way to get from your mandatory reporting different scenarios for number of reporting days or harvest days?
Well, this is harvest days, so this is from mandatory reporting.
I'm just trying to find a way to get at people that are not doing anything. I mean, like, how do you identify people that have a job somewhere else and they don't have to work on the water, whether it's oysters or crabs or whatever?
They have 0 days in the reporting database for doing whatever we're looking at, or very few days.
So how many?
I mean, look here. You've got harvests other than hand scrape. 41 at the bottom with zero. Not doing anything but hand scrape. So they're probably doing something else.
That's,
you want to look at this.
That's 41 of the 49.
So look at some of these. Number of individuals that harvest species other than oysters from 11 through 14. Okay? So there's 53 of these individuals. This is all, I think I'm still in post control. So this is a smaller group. But we're still in post control. But there's 53 of them that don't show up anywhere else.
Strictly oysters.
Just
the oysters.
That's it.
The oysters.
They must be doing some of those other 6 days.
My hand's great.
Mama's taking care of them.
Maybe we should find out what they're doing.
Good to
herself.
Right, there you go. That's the answer for all 53 of them right there.
Does that include working on private grounds?
No, this is public only, right? Right, yeah. No, but then we have the ones with the back one right there. Only a handful, 15 of them were. And this is, again, post-control, but a handful of those were in private. The rest weren't doing private either. A lot to consider.
AJ, if I can say something.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Before we proceed down this road any further, and I would like to remind this committee that from the beginning back in February that it was not the committee's idea to make a cut. It was staff's idea under the for lack of a better word, threat that the limit could be reduced to 4 bushels. And if you sit back and listen to the meeting, away from the meeting, and listen to the comments, especially from last meeting when we went through this whole slideshow of data, staff is doing a very good job of appeasing everyone that sits on this committee and everyone's individual interest, whether it be someone like me who works strictly on private ground, someone from the Potomac River, someone who hand tongs, whatever everyone's angle coming at this may be, is doing a very good job of appeasing everyone sitting on this committee that their head will not be on the chopping block, which in turn makes it easier for everyone on this committee to sit and put somebody else's head on the chopping block. This is the last remaining public fishery that has any potential for growth. It's not already limited entry or not crippled from some other angle. There are 300,000 acres of public bottom in the state of Virginia. Right now, there are less than 1,000 people with the control date, less than 1,000 people that have the potential to work on that bottom. That's 300 acres per person. That's more than the average leaseholder in this state owns. So before we go down the road and convince ourselves that we have to make a cut, there's more than one angle to attack this problem. I just would like to remind everybody of that again before we go any further down this road.
What angle? You said there's more than one angle. You have
open some more bottom. Open all the areas at one time, spread out the effort. There's many angles to attack this other than let's cripple the one industry that's growing, the industry that the state of Virginia invests the most money in growing, whether it be through replenishment or whichever other investments they put into it, the one that the governor touts as making, he's going to make Virginia, not that I'm a fan of the governor, but that he's going to make Virginia not only the largest oyster producer on the East Coast, but in the whole United States, and all the rest of that propaganda. And you're taking this industry and essentially looking at whacking it, the public end of it, by somewhere, as we saw tonight, between 25% and 50%. And, you know, we started this argument as far as cutting it and limiting it last year in August with the same thing, the same we're headed down this slippery slope and every year is going to get worse and worse and worse. And the 14-15 season was projected to be worse than the year before, and it turns out that the 14-15 season was the biggest one in decades. So question the stock assessments. Question other things. Don't just, again, let them appease you that your neck is safe and let's start chopping. There's more than one way to solve this problem, if there is actually truly a problem.
Is it possible that the quota that is on everybody, does that have to remain the same for the whole season, or can that actually change at some point in time? In other words, if the season is 2 months long, could you have a quota for the first month and then possibly change it for the second month? That's correct, yes. What's allowed to be caught per man? It's what, 8 bushels per man now?
In the past year, it's been 8 per man.
Yeah. So if it was 8 for the first month, and then if based on the data that you were getting, that could be changed the following month, or is that not practical?
I don't think we could do it on the fly every month. I mean, we're pretty confident on our stock assessment, and we said that 2014 would be as good as 13-14.
It was said
not an issue on that.
I mean, it was projected to be less because we went through the same argument.
No, it was not
in August.
But what we will go into is there is going to be less stock and there are, we are planting less shells than we've done before. So areas are getting, are going to have less opportunity of spat. So we're trying to do things that will solidify and protect the industry, the working industry that we have that have been with it for a long time, in with some preference over those that have gotten into it in recent times. It's the standing stock, I mean, we've done these bars year after year after year, and it's, we're not wrong on it.
The other thing too, you know, is I don't see a whole lot of younger people getting into this, and maybe there is, maybe I just don't look in the right places.
You don't look in the right places.
So there is.
And there's been, in my estimation, Rich, Ben, you bought, there's been a pretty decent quality of young people that's invested and gotten in this.
It's a growing industry.
But it's not going to grow. If we cut it to four bushels, it's not going to grow.
Why do we have, who said, again, who said the ultimatum is cut this or cut it to four bushels? We're not, there's nothing saying we have to work under an ultimatum.
We can shorten
the season. The committee can make their recommendation to the commission just the same as staff can make their recommendation to the commission, even if they're 180 degrees apart.
That's true.
So there is no ultimatum of if not this, then this.
Attention.
Certain areas, so
that
they only stay in one area.
Say that again,
man. Limit. You know, you say, I'm going to stay in Rappahannock, and so when the Rappahannock seasons are over, you're over. But you wouldn't be able to go in other places.
Yeah, reduce aisles, reduce days, shaft on instead of scrape.
Yeah.
Closures, partial closures, reduce amount of people in the fishery.
We talked about the number of bushels maximum a boat could have as opposed to three. Whether it
those things are still going to come in as possibilities once we have effort control.
Do they? Are those things to allow more people of post control?
No, but it might help the you certainly could if y'all wanted to. I mean, we had talked about 8 and 16 instead of 8 and 24, but. It wouldn't do you any good to do that if everybody could work.
Does it concern staff of that, 59 individuals that post-control that worked the hunt, that worked 20 days or more, that have invested money in rigs? I mean, if I'd spent what I see some of these guys have spent, you know, regardless of what the commission votes on, or regardless of what the committee or what you guys recommend or what comes out of this, I don't think that's over.
Excuse me for interrupting, but what came to thought from what he was talking about on these people that post date, I know when we fill out the reports that, you know, you've got a place on the left-hand side for to put the crew. So, you know, you got the main guy, the captain, he's got the boat and the rig, and then you got the crew, which is on the left-hand side. Do you isolate those out? Yeah. So
they're all included.
So what portion of those smaller amounts over there, what portion of those are crew versus the captain of the boat? Well, you understand what I'm saying, because that addresses what he's talking about, these people having invested in boats and stuff.
59, that doesn't mean they're all 59 who have their own boat and rig. Those all 59, plus all 59 are just crew. They're on there just getting the call.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was, I know that information is there because I put the information
there.
It's
just breaking it out. Yeah. It depends on which direction we take this. There's a lot of different ways you can take it.
Well, that would address what you're talking about.
And what I'm talking about, Dan's heard, I've heard, probably other members of this committee, and you guys have heard from guys that have called you and said, I've bought a boat, I've bought a rig, I worked the whole season. I mean,
I'm worried about the post-control day, because at home in Reedville, there's a lot of guys just getting into it that didn't do it just for oar string. I mean, they're into the waterman business completely. And they just started oar string this, you know, after the post control date, but that's part of their livelihood in unison with crab. And they invested a dead rise boat or some type of boat and gear and everything. They got a lot of money invested. So I'm really interested in this post control date and these people that really work in other days with other fisheries. Because they've got family, and that's what they've decided to do now. The younger 21, 22-year, 23-year-old kids. And there's quite a few of them at home doing it.
Is there any way to project, if nothing were done, and we kept the same seasons as we did last year, areas are going to be different, but what would you project the harvest to be?
What I just said, maybe 60 to 75% of last year.
If nothing were done.
If none of this was done. Yeah. It's just you would divide it among more people.
And do you not agree that will call some of the people out because they're not making the money?
Yeah, but some of the people that need to work year long are going to be on the sidelines very early in the season.
Do you have a total allowable harvest per river or per section? You don't have that.
No, we can make it. We make our guesses based on the standard stock versus the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
ever cut the time back to us?
That's very few days, and when it's good that anybody's staying after the 12 o'clock.
Especially in the Punkmunk Tangier, you're saying. There's some rough water there. Sometimes you need them 2 extra hours to make a living. Mm-hmm. Ernie can tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Jim, if nothing were done and all things remain the same, what would you say the damage to the resource would be? Not the commercial aspect of it, but just the oyster resource itself. How damaging is this going to be to the oyster resource?
Well, it's right now the biggest thing we got going on is shell disappearing. And so the more people you have working, the more the shells are worked and the more they're scattered out, because in these areas where we've shell planted 20 acres in order to all those boats to work in those 20 acres. They're cut, a lot of them are culling outside of the area. So you got both the natural degradation of the shell that's going on, along with too many people working and spreading the shell out. But as far as damage, it's if they're all legal, there's not going to be that much damage. They're just going to get done very early in the season, it's going to be over.
It's more of an economic thing.
I mean, it just means everybody's going to be sitting on the...
Right.
Instead of lasting a month out of 2 months last year, it'll last 2 weeks. And so we'll have disruptions, and when Virginia product is out there,
There's always somebody that'll work for a lower bushel count than somebody else. So a lot of guys, when they can't catch eight, will quit. When other guys will quit when they get to six. Other guys will work down to three or four.
Do a lot of damage to oysters, too.
You do?
You do that. Yeah. And you got a lot of small ones. We had that happen to Pokemon one year. They just drudged too long. Everybody drudged too long. I'm not saying they were saving little ones. Just they were killing 10 bushels to catch one, and we found it out the next year.
Well, I think that happened in the York River.
I mean, I came home from the James River on Thursday to start Friday and went right back to the James River on Monday. I mean, it wasn't nothing. I couldn't believe it. It was heartbreaking. And, you know, I can understand where you're coming from, Ben, but I got an 18-year-old grandson that's going to fall to the axe in this. But, you know, there's a lot of people that's going to be hurting if something isn't done. I mean, I hate it too, believe me. I mean, I don't have rock tags. I can't horseshoe crab. I can't. There's a lot of stuff I can't do. I paid $2,000 for a crab dredge license that was taken from me in 3 years. Hey, I made it. I didn't cry about it. I just sucked it up and went with it, you know. I don't want to offend anybody on this committee or whatever, but there's a lot of older people here that's got to make a living. The young ones can find a job. I hate to say it, but it's the truth, you know. I mean, I'm nearly 62. Oyster's been a big part of my life. And money-wise, too, I mean, the only other thing I do is crab. And that's been a struggle for the last 2 or 3 years, crabbing. Oysters is what's brought us ahead. And in the Pokemon, we got a problem. We need to get a spat set this year. I mean, Jeff can tell you that. I mean, that's the first time I've seen that down in the Pokemon, that we hadn't had a lot of small oysters going back overboard. We didn't have any strike at all this year.
Not much.
I mean, that's why we caught a lot of oysters, caught them quick, because it wasn't anything to knock off. That's scary. So I don't know where we go, you know. We can't make it all 4 or 5 bushels. And who knows, this price knock might not last forever. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people can say what they want. The reason why some people got in this industry this year is because of the price, and I don't blame them. I've done it too. But if those oysters were $25 a bushel, a lot of these guys would have probably stayed with what they were doing. But I don't blame them. When you get $40, $45, $50 a bushel, go for it. But, I mean, that's my opinion for what it's worth. I mean, I want to be honest. I mean, like I say, I got a grandson that's going to he's going to lose his.
Well, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I'm just sitting here thinking about how, I can't remember how many years ago, it must have been 10 or 15 years ago, and I had two guys working for me, and it was just a couple little spots you could catch an oyster in the James River, and it wasn't very many out there at all, and what was out there, when you shucked it, you could look through it, and since there weren't any oysters anywhere, you could sell them, but the oysters came back, and they came back better than I've ever seen it. It's been good, but I've seen all my oysters die 4 or 5 times in the last 40 years, and they always come back.
I've seen the best.
So you don't know, never know what's going to happen. I just, you know.
I remember back there years ago in the Pokemon when you opened it up for the first time dredging.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, you were to the dock 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that's with a 15 bushel per man limit.
Gosh, that's nice.
And then everybody in the world got into it. People work to the chicken plants at night. They come out. I would have done the same thing. I'm not condemning them. But he came out and got boats. And when the gravy was gone, they went right back to their chicken plant job. And we had to sit out there and scratch it out. There comes a time when you got to protect yourself.
Well, I guess it's fair to anticipate that what I've just described will probably happen again before it's over with. I mean, dead cows floating down the river and stuff like that, and just everything that's there is dead, and hopefully it comes back like it usually does. I know this is something that's completely different, but I've seen it. I know you have, too.
Jim, you had mentioned earlier on thinking of maybe opening the James and the Rappahannock at the same time in October. Are you still contemplating...
That'll kind of be up to you all whether you want the, you know, it's going to close at the same time. So, in order to cover gaps, that's going to be hard.
So what what would be planned would be November through the end of January for the James. If you backed it up, you'd...
Well, I mean, I'd actually, I've been playing with the seasons, and it'll kind of depend on what this everything goes on to how I do them. But it seemed like there was a gap in the later part of the season in March, so I had thought that, you know, November, December for the James, and then come back in March.
And on any of these, on any of this data recovery that you've done, have you been able to determine, or have you gotten data that shows what people were catching per person per day? Have you? You have that?
Yeah.
So I know the limit was 8.
Mind that out.
Well, I'm just I'm sure there's a certain percentage of people that they go out there and get their 8 bushels, and there's probably a certain percentage of people that just get 6.
Well, you don't see many people coming in with 6 at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, but that's... Okay. So that's what would be, what, 10% or 5% or...
Buyers can tell you, but it
was pretty much, in my case, it was limit.
Everybody always had the limit.
And pretty well in the Rappahannock, it was till the end. It was a grind, but it was to the end. Ernie, you can say what you were getting your limit.
Thank God, the other day.
The last Everybody. Day. So it, I don't think it was many people that caught less than a limit.
It just took longer.
Mm-hmm.
So that till what, till 12 or two or?
No, it never got to 2. I mean, it was
always like.
Jim, what do you think our deadline is on this to either, you know, make a decision or have a recommendation from the committee?
We need it soon because we're going to have to advertise for public hearings in July or August public hearings. So we need to make a decision on this. I mean, I can put the rest of it together pretty quick, but on this part of it, we'd like to wrap it up, get some direction today, and wrap it up in July.
So from Joe's information, what are you, I mean, we basically saw two scenarios, a 25% and a 50%, and some pre-control or no post-control or no post-control. I mean, what is staff thinking?
Well, I mean, I think we need 50% and then let some amount of people back in that you're 50%, you know, those the 20-day thing, take those out and then decide how to let a percentage of those that you wanted that have either a lot of history or worked on private ground or the ones in the control after the control tape that spent a lot of time back in. But
and those two numbers, I think you said, were what we know it was 59 on the hand scrape and then it was like 15 on the private or something like that.
Yeah.
That's the group that you got to work from.
Yeah.
So you're saying less than 20 days. If you did that, if you took the people less than 20, it would be to your number.
Well, you take those out, but then decide how you let those in the less than 20 back in if you want them.
Right.
If
right,
they
right,
work
right,
on private
right,
ground.
Right, right, right.
If they.
But that would
if
still
you had
be.
A certain amount of days that they did other things. If you want to allow that. But that would let some back in.
But that would still be in your parameters.
Yeah,
there.
It would be, still be getting, you'd probably end up with a 40% cut.
Can you go back to Joe's 50% slide of hand scrape?
Can you go back to that?
What does that one add? 136 and 203.
Yeah.
What is that?
Oh, that was the people that were.
That's the scenario right there when you're looking at pre-control date.
Yes.
look at hand scrape, there was about 786 individuals who had some kind of history of hand scraping. So just taking those individuals who had over 20 days, you're looking at about 381 there. And then if you want to take a closer look at those 405 people, whether you want to say we want people who worked a lot of days working other species, we want people who worked a lot of days tonguing, people who looked at private, and that'll go from 50 to 40, 45. That's kind of what's important to the...
And you could still take out some of the post controls.
Right. This is just here. So we could not take any of the post controls. You could look at it and say, we don't want most of those. We want people who are really hoofing it, who are working 40 days in that 6 months. You know, let's try and keep that group in.
I'm trying to get to an aggregate number of how many we're taking out. Post control, if we went this 50, putting it, if staff recommended a 50%, what is it, 381 from 786? And then how many total post control guys are we taking out?
Is this including taking out all post control? Was that
no? That's just pre-control.
Pre-control. Okay.
And this is just hand scrape.
What was that? 136 and 203.
Yeah, I'm just talking about hands. I'm trying just to keep from confusing it on dredge and hand. But you've got 405 guys here. What was the total number of post guys? Not just the 20, the 59, that.
150.
But the total.
I got 136 and 203 from something up there. What was that?
We're talking 513
post control.
I had it.
This is an example on the. You went down to the post control group. You did the exact same separation. You keep in from that group 59. So you're talking about going from 381 up to 440. Staying in. One hand straight.
So we. It's about 50%, yeah.
When was all this going to take effect? 2016, January 1, or 2000?
October
1 this year?
It'll be in regulation, but we'll be able to get the license for people that were out January 1st.
So everything will be the same for this year, pretty much?
Well, we may have to lower the bushel limit for the fall. If we keep everybody. I mean, it would go back.
Well, what happens if we kept everybody the same and everything with your stock assessment, and I don't mean no harm, I'd be wrong, and everything is better than we thought?
It's not going to be. That's
wishful thinking.
It's not possible.
Take anybody out this year. They've already got their license, right?
We could, in theory.
But that's what he was saying.
No, I mean, if the effort control starts on January 1st, then it would be a different set of regulations possibly for the fall and then for after January 1st.
So you're talking about going to 6 bushel limit for 2000 this year, and then in 2016 making these reductions that we're talking
back
about.
To 8, yeah. Back to 8.
Go back to 8.
Even with
you sure we go back to 8? Are you sure we go back to 8?
You're still going to finish areas off early.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to avoid that because, I mean, we're working with the people. You're letting the best people stay, and you're taking out the least contributors. But you're getting some control on effort for the future.
But how many times have VMRC has taken things away and said we get it back and we have it? That's my problem, you know. I know you say we will, but.
Well, you mean.
You're going back January to 8. First? Yeah, you're going back to 8 bushels. Yeah.
Well, that would be set in regulation.
It'll be set.
Oh. I mean, we're not going to. We'd like to get this all wrapped up, and what goes in October 1st, we'll have the steps with the bushel limits or whatever we have to do to get us up till December 31st, and then the same areas would would everyone's role in the open, if say the James was open December, as an example, or Tangier is open December, January, February, December would be 6, January, February would be 8.
Even cutting it to 40 or 50%, you'd still cut it down this
year. You'd have to have something for the fall, because the cuts aren't going to take place till January 1st.
You may not want to
imagine. Give them a rebate.
Huh?
What are you talking about, the user fees and the license that were issued that you'd be taking back?
Well, we wouldn't take anything back. We would start all this.
So you get a few rebates.
In other words, you could ask to up to January.
Do anything you want.
I say let them stay in for that.
Yeah, if they're going to do that, now. Yeah. Let them all stay in. I'm not going to give you 6 bushels, but I'll take it forward and just leave them how it is. No. Which is 6 bushels this year until January 1st, even with the cuts.
Is the administration, has the staff made the administration aware that this was coming?
So you think we need a 6 bushel cut, regardless of what happens then? Or at least 6 bushel, even with the 40%
or 50% cut. It's going to be a huge issue.
Yeah, for taking people's right to work away, it might be.
We've showcased oysters for 2 years.
But it won't be 8. We can't do anything to keep it at 8.
Not if everybody gets work.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Jim, you had mentioned a little while ago that I think there will be or there have been fewer shells put overboard. But what about the $2 million that came from the replenishment?
But, I mean, in comparison to the shells that we had in 2012 and 13 when we were getting more for $2 million than we were getting now,
shells are cheaper.
We're putting less over.
Okay.
Yeah, the
shells are more expensive.
Cost per bushel's higher. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Cost per bushel is higher.
Even with going with the dread shell?
And the amount, I mean, we have never in recent times been able to keep up with shells disappearing. But we were always closer. I mean, this year we got 1,400 and some acres that need shell, and we'll be able to pay for about 500. Last year, there was probably 900 acres that needed shell, and we did it 600. So, I mean, the amount of areas that are getting away from us are getting bigger, mm-hmm. and they're going to go out of production altogether. I mean, that's just... So our harvest area is going to get smaller over time.
So the problem is shells. The problem is shells. This is why our stock assessments are low. Well, other than...
Well, there's two things. You have to have spat set. Mm-hmm.
But in order to get a good spout size, you have to have shell. And we put shell out, and we put big shells out. And if you get a spout set, then disease that isn't present kills 90% of the oysters, and so you only get 10% of those oysters. The spout actually make it at the market size to actually make a big shell again. They get somewhere in between, but they don't ever make shells back as big as we put overboard. So we're always chasing a negative, you know, you're running a negative balance. You're always chasing.
And you've been doing this for years.
Yes.
Which leads us to this.
Hmm?
Which leads us to where we're at now.
Well, if you know, that you hold your own when you get good spout sets, but a little bit. I mean, you don't get the separation is not as big, but part of that is because over the years in, you know, from like 2000 to 2006, we were getting a big influx of money from the Corps and NOAA and DEQ to build more beds than we had before. So what's happening is, though, we can't keep up with maintaining those because the Corps left, NOAA's left because they want to do sanctuaries, and it's back to just our money. So we got a lot of areas that we've taken advantage of over these years that now we're going to start, that just going to go away, and we'll be back to a smaller group of bars.
What percentage of the active open bottom that's being worked is actually in the shell program versus the amount of sanctuary and artificial reef and man-made reef that's in this? I mean, are we talking about putting shells back somewhere that's not being worked and not ever going to be worked to begin with? Is that where the majority of the shells?
Not our shells. The core shells go there.
I'm talking about the 1,400 acres that you're saying needed.
1,400 acres are these are harvest areas.
So because, I mean, for example, James River, there is no harvest area in James River that's had shells put on it in a long time.
We've been putting shells in the James River every year heavily.
Where?
The past 4 years.
Where?
Brown Shoal, Cruisers, Wreck Shoal, White Shoal, Ballards, Lower Thomas, Upper Thomas.
I'm missing all that.
So, but the main point is the MRC's replenishment program is going to harvest areas, not to closed areas. That's good.
So she's just gotten that week this week?
Yes. And she may not have seen it yet.
I mean, I just see, and it, let me finish, please. I just see a big issue coming when the governor has spent the amount of time he has at the facilities. I mean, this is going to come as a total shock. You know, when the secretary was at Windmill Point last year, seeing all, you know, hearing from several of these guys we're talking about in this post control number, it's the two things that bother me are that, and I'm outspoken, but I've done my share of lobbying for the $2 million since 1998, and it's fluctuated from 450 to 2 million. I'm telling you, it's going to be a fight. We've got several delegates that are not satisfied with the direction of management. I've argued against it. I've argued for it. But it's a lot of dynamics here that are scaring me to death. And we don't have any federal money to speak of. Do you see that changing?
I mean, I argue with them every single opportunity that when they make a decision to take money to new areas, that they are making the same decision to leave areas that we have history of maintaining oysters in high. We've obviously known enough to do the best areas first, And so now, when they make a decision to go to areas that are marginal, they are making a decision to leave the best areas.
And lastly, you know, Maryland has made a strong statement on oysters in the last 24 months. They've made a stronger statement with their change of resource managers and all that they're talking about doing with opening rivers that have been in sanctuary for a long time. I don't want to go down this road to argue it. They've taken a lot of our shell. So, you know, from a strategic standpoint, as a business person in this industry, we got a lot facing us that Maryland's going to come on strong. And, you know, I just, we've got to be careful that we don't go after effort control, and I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying we need to think about this. And when I say we, staff needs to think strongly about our restoration money and how this is going to be perceived in Richmond. And, you know, as a business person, a delegate that has supported, or the governor who has supported, as tight as money is up there, $2 million. And he starts getting one call after another from watermen. And I mean, I know when I got an issue, I call, and all of us do. You know, where is my money gone, and what am I doing this for? That bothers me. Just having a weekly update to the secretary, and this bombshell coming out in the next 12, 14 weeks is it's bothersome.
Well, the commission has to hear it in August, and everyone has time to reflect towards the next meeting. One thing that, you know, I appreciate you looking at and talking about tonight is that it's really not a big hit on the harvest the way we were going about this. And not to talk about crabs again, the same thing happened with the crabs. Buyout is we ended up taking a lot of little bits of effort that all added up to about, you know, 75,000 to 80,000 pots that weren't in the water. Some of them wouldn't have been in the water anyway. And so, I mean, you really need to think about it. Your recommendation is going to be very important to the commission. If you haven't sat in on a commission meeting recently, the commission is starting to get a better understanding. There's a lot of new folks on the commission that have 2 years or less experience. And so it would be very important to make the recommendation, regardless of what you end up with. I think that's really David, what Tommy's talking about. Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a scary thing to think about all the ramifications. There's already been some calls from delegates about this process. I know even other meetings, like I had young guys come up to me and say, look, I just got in here and everything else. I'm part of the system. Jim gets the calls all week long about harvesters checking on where they stand, wondering if they're on the bubble or not. Wherever that bubble might be, we don't know yet. you know, that's why I'm interested also in next time, maybe there should be more than the six items to look at as far as other alternatives, because it may seem manageable to us to have a system, but not when you're in the industry, it doesn't seem very manageable from your comments tonight. It seems pretty hard to talk.
Did I understand you correctly that the governor has been briefed that the potential for taking people's license away exists?
Secretary Ward.
He knows they're talking about taking people's license away.
Not the governor. Secretary Ward just received a briefing yesterday. John Boyd said she may not have gone over it yet. Once she goes over it, I'm sure there's going to be some questions.
It's not a reduction of quota, but it's taking people's license away that already have them. They were briefed to that.
Well, the brief's there. They have to read it.
I understand. I just, because to me, there's a big difference between the two.
Well,
And she has to understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just...
If you have anything that, you know, any sense of direction, I mean, we've heard a few things tonight, but I mean, a sense of direction that any of this, we've been solved in pretty much a cupboard, except for I would like to see the projection that we'll do on, here's how much harvest the ones that potentially talked about being out of the fishery for some amount of time would account to, and it tells you what else is available to those who would be in the fishery. Of course, you haven't decided yet to go that route, but I still think you gave us some direction on the post control folks, and some direction on the less than 20 days and all of that. Other than that, is there any other information?
I do like to have some type of bushel amount, because we're just talking about people. We're talking about yes, we need to know what we're working in bushel amount.
Yeah, that's what I
agree.
I just, you know, who am I to take away somebody's license?
I agree with that, too.
You know, that's the main thing that I have in the back of my mind. I can understand limits and controls. I mean, I saw that in the scallop business when I was big in that, and I dealt with a whole fleet of boats. It was 21 boats, and they all worked 365 days a year. Now they work 30 days a year, and they've got six people on the boat, and everything has really changed. The guys that are on the boat are making money, but there's not just a big, big difference between 365 days and 35 days. But they didn't take anybody's license away.
If getting towards 6 o'clock, I don't know if you had a deadline for this meeting, but it sounds to me like we're looking at various options. I don't know if there's consensus on this committee to be had or not, but it seems like status quo is might be one option, and then these reductions for effort, 25% or 50%, with some of those additional individual post control date might be fed back into that number. And then, as I understand, maybe alternative controls, maybe bushel limits or season closures or what have you. Are you alluding to there be another meeting prior to August, I guess?
Before July.
Before July.
I mean, before the July meeting.
Yeah. To see if there's a recommendation from this committee.
Yeah. Get it started, and then you have July, you know, before the August one to finalize everything.
So am I missing one of the alternatives or one of the options, I guess?
Well, you briefly said something about maybe things be different for different rivers, remember?
I mean, you know,
that would be some of those alternatives.
Well, you got 100% in the James and 75% in the Rappahannock, and every, you know.
We can go through those choices again at the next meeting,
but that's,
or I can send them to you by email. I mean, we'll send this out to you by email, the updated version, so you can think about it.
Can you send me that? I wasn't here for the first few meetings, y'all.
Huh?
I wasn't here for the first few meetings.
So, any more comments, suggestions, questions? Jim, you got more? Want to try and set a date then for this next meeting, I guess? Are you going to send something out on email or what?
Send us out on email.
All right.
Check on all the staff availability and then send that to you. Any other questions?
All right. Meeting adjourned. Thanks.
This ain't going to fly. This ain't going to fly.